you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading at verse 35 and the beginning, going down to the beginning of verse number 37. Amen. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 35 and we're going to read down to the beginning of verse number 37. You have it, say amen.
Amen.
Mark chapter 6. We've been in Mark, a Bible study. I think we finished chapter 9 last week.
Mm-hmm.
Going into chapter 10 this week.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm just looking at chapter 10. We got some good stuff coming up. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. But right now we're in Mark chapter 6 for this Sunday morning. First Sunday in September 2017, and we have 4 months to go. Amen. Don't get fooled and think it's only three.
Amen.
Just because September's the ninth month. We got 4 months to go. Amen. Don't let the devil fool you.
Yes.
Amen. You got 4 months to do the miraculous things that you believe in God for. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mark chapter 6, verse 35. Let's look at it together. God bless you. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we're coming to your word now, and we're thankful, God. We're thankful, Lord, that you are about to speak unto us,
yes,
words of life.
Yes.
We thank you, God, that you will share with us right now your heart.
Yes.
That you will help us to see and to understand things that we never have seen and understood before. We thank you, God, for the instruction that you shall give us.
Brother.
We thank you, God, for a word of correction where needed. We thank you, God, for the word of revelation, that our eyes may be opened,
yes,
to the truth that will make us free. Father, we're praying now that your perfect will be done in this place. And that as a result of hearing the word of God spoken from heaven, that our lives shall be transformed here on earth. And you, God, will get the glory. Father God, have your way right now. As we just yield and submit to you, we bless you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Our title today is Do Something About It. Amen. Do Something About It. And we just read Mark chapter 6, verse 35, through the beginning of verse number 37. And this is Mark's account of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus was teaching them on a mountainside, and we pick up in verse 35 and we find that the disciples came unto Jesus and they made a request. They came unto Jesus and they made a request. And in making the request, they made certain observations. They were aware of what was going on. And they observed in coming to Jesus with their request what was going on among the 5,000 that were on that mountainside. They observed, first of all, that it was late. They said the day was now far spent. They also observed that there really was nothing around the people, that it was a deserted place. They said, the day is now far spent, and they said, this is a desert place. It's deserted. There's nothing around here. There are no stores, and there are no malls. There are no restaurants. There's not even a food cart to be found. It's a deserted place. The time is far past. And then they made a request unto Jesus after making these observations. Their request was, Jesus, send these people away so that they can get something to eat. We've often talked about saying to Jesus as the disciples, is send them away is improper. We're not going to stop there, however. What we're going to do is to continue. And their request was, send the people away so that they can get something to eat.
Amen.
So they came to Jesus and they were talking. Jesus, it's late. Jesus, this is a deserted place. Jesus, these people don't have anything to eat. Jesus, these people are hungry. Jesus, I ask you, send them away so they can get something to eat. I don't know about you, but I still look at prayer as speaking to God. And speaking to God in a language He understands. That's why fearful things and fretful things is not prayer. It's just complaining. Because communicating to God is communicating to Him in a language He understands. And how many of you know that we serve a compassionate God? He doesn't want to see people hungry and going without food. And so when these disciples come to Jesus, they're speaking the language Jesus can understand. They need something to eat. And they ask Jesus to feed the people. And they were using words in talking to Jesus in a language He understood about something that was consistent with His will, that people be fed. You know what they were doing? They were praying. I know we don't look at it, friend. They were just talking to Jesus. But when you talk to Jesus, when I talk to Jesus, and we intervene on other people's behalf and ask that a need be met, what do we call it? We call it prayer.
Yes.
They were praying. And they prayed unto Jesus, saying, Jesus, they have no food. Jesus is late. Jesus, there's nothing around here. Jesus, send them away, Jesus, so that they can get something to eat. And Jesus' response was, you feed them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes.
They prayed. And they asked Jesus to do something. And Jesus' response to them was, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Our Bible says that Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, and forever. So if the Jesus in our scripture text, in response to prayer, told His disciples, those who followed Him, when they asked Him to do something, and His response to them was, you do it.
Yes.
What do you think Jesus is saying to His modern day disciples who go to Him in prayer asking Jesus to do something? I believe more times than not, Jesus' response is, you do it. There's a lesson here. When we see others in need, we need to be prepared to do more than simply go to Jesus and ask Him to do something. We must be prepared to do something ourselves. There's two applications for us of this teaching today. One is with the current disasters in the United States, Hurricane Harvey.
Yes, yes, yes.
The second is a personal application to our own lives. Amen. But let's take the first one, Hurricane Harvey.
Yes.
We know that this hurricane has been one of the worst natural disasters to hit this country, if not in its history, then in a long time. Mm-hmm. There are people in tremendous need. We have seen the images, haven't we?
Yes.
We've seen the footage. We've seen the photographs. We've seen the flooded homes and the flooded businesses. We've seen that brown water that's up to, you know, covering some buildings and covering cars. We've seen people being rescued. We've seen people going into shelters because they have no place to go. We've read the statistics and we see the thousands and the millions that have been affected by this. We know that billions of dollars are going to be needed to rebuild these hurricane affected areas. We've seen it, haven't we?
Yes.
And I know that there have been a lot of people who are called by the name of the Lord who have been praying for the survivors of Hurricane Harvey. But I believe God is speaking from heaven and saying, you and I have to do more than simply pray. We have to do more than just go to God and ask Him to do something in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because that's what the disciples did here. They went to Jesus and asked Jesus to do something about people in need, and Jesus' response was, you do it. So this idea that we can look at all these images and we're good little Christians, if all we do is pray in Jesus' name, I'm here to tell you, God is requiring more. To whom much is given, much is required. And God is looking for more than that from those who are called by His name. He's looking for people who are willing to do something about it. So, with Hurricane Harvey, what is it that we can do? Well, let's start with the easy one. You can give some money.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Now, how many know blankets aren't free? Water is not free. Clothes aren't free. Building supplies aren't free.
Amen.
The things that are needed to help people get back on their feet still cost something.
Yes.
Amen. Money is needed. So we can give money so that supplies can be purchased and distributed to those who need it. How many of you know?
Amen.
Amen. How many of you know? And for those of you who are right now saying, look, I'm on a budget, brother, and I can't do it, I say to you right now, go to God and pray to God. Not that. Glory to God. Not that the people get fed, not that the people get clothed, not that the people get housed. That's what the disciples were praying. Because
yes.
Jesus is going to get up and say, you do it. And you're going to say, well, Lord, I can't. And He's going to say, well, wait a minute. Twice a day. In the morning before you hit your office, and at that siesta hour, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when your eyes get heavy, you go downstairs and buy a $6 Starbucks cup of coffee.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
That's $12 a day, $60 a week.
Yes.
Jesus will say to you, you know what? Don't buy Starbucks for a week and send $60 to help somebody.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. We have it. We just need to maybe, amen. See, somebody right now, this is Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
And right after service, you are going up to the store to buy 3 racks of ribs so that you can cook them tomorrow.
Wow. Uh-oh.
And it's only you and your wife in the house.
Amen, amen, amen.
And you don't have anybody scheduled to come over. How many of you know, he does not need 3 racks of ribs.
Amen.
Yeah. Buy one and take the money that you will spend for the other 2 and send it to somebody, an organization that can help in the relief effort. Amen. It doesn't take a lot of creativity. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Your waistline will be grateful. And so will those who receive.
Amen.
Amen. Well, why am I saying this? Because many times what the devil tries to do to us, the minute somebody asks for money, he tries to convince you you don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's the first thing. When your money could be good, put to good use by God. And understand this story. How many fish and bread they had? Two fish, five loaves of bread, 15,000, including women and children, were fed. I want you to know that even if you can only send $7, that God can multiply your seven and do more with it than you can do with your seven. But you got to be willing to give it to him. Amen. They go to the preacher again talking about money. No, Jesus talks about money more than the preacher does, but you just skip over those parts.
Amen.
But the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. How many of you know that all the money you have, it originated because God put some things in place that you can get paid?
Amen.
You didn't get your job on your own. God opened that door for you to get the job. You didn't start that business. God started that business.
Amen.
You didn't do those things. It was God at work in your life.
Amen.
So we can give money. Why? Because money is needed.
Yes.
As long as money is needed to buy tangible things, then people of God have to be givers of money.
Amen.
I'm not looking for it. Amen. But people need it. What else can you do? There's some, amen, there have been reports, amen, they said in the southwest Texas area that blood supply is needed. Go get blood.
Amen.
If you're healthy enough, go get blood. Don't just pray that help the hospital workers, help them. That's good for praying, but then get up and go donate some blood.
Amen.
You're healthy, you're strong, you're vibrant. Some people can't donate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you can, go donate blood. That'll be a help. Surgery is needed. You see, people are hurt. People have been injured and what have you. Hospitals have been affected. Amen. Go give them. Go donate blood. There's something
Amen.
You can do.
Yes. Yes.
Other people are able to do what? They're able to volunteer. I'm amazed to see how many people come into these disaster zones from other states. Volunteer. Again, not everybody can do this. But there are people who are doing it. And not all of them are Christians. How many of you know that?
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Not all of them are Christians. So that just puts the spotlight on us who call ourselves by the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If we're able to do it, put your hands to the work.
Amen.
Volunteer. Amen. Amen. Some people have, you know, businesses and things that you know, heavy equipment and stuff like that. See if that can be used somehow. Don't just be looking from afar going, oh my God. And then feel satisfied that we're praying about it.
Amen.
Jesus said, do something about it. You feed them. I'm going to say something. I'm just going to say, there are times when prayer alone is not enough. Oh, this week, and I've seen that why Sister E is clapping so hard. This week, Sister Nell posted something on Facebook where she said she gets so tired of people talking about prayer changes things. She said, that's just jargon. She said, prayer don't change things, prayer changes you. Right? Really, because a lot of times prayer goes to work on us, and prayer goes to work on people, and then people get to moving in a different way.
Amen.
That's why things change.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But prayer changes people. But there are times, I want you to know, that prayer alone is not enough. And that statement sounds like blasphemy to religious people.
Amen.
To religious people. To religious people who like spouting little catchphrases and all these types of things. They like to speak in jargon and all this other kind. That offends them, that prayer alone is not enough. But didn't the disciples come praying to Jesus?
Amen.
Send them away, Jesus, that they can get something to eat. It's late. They're out here far. They're tired. They're hungry. I pray that you feed them. And Jesus' response was, that's not good enough. You feed them. So Jesus let us know there's times when prayer alone is not enough.
No, yes.
Not enough.
Yes.
And if anybody thinks that that's blasphemy, mm-hmm. then understand that God himself said the same thing in his word. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We're going to look at verse number 14. And I'm actually going to read this. And this is a familiar passage of scripture, amen. When your brother is hungry and he's naked and he's destitute of food. And James said, what good is it for you to say, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled?
Yes, amen.
But I'm going to read this from the Phillips translation of the New Testament, J.B. Phillips translation. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. This is what the Word of God says. Now, what use is it, my brothers, for a man to say that he, quote unquote, has faith if his actions do not correspond with it?
Amen.
Could that sort of faith save anyone's soul? If a fellow man or woman has no clothes to wear and nothing to eat, and one of you say, good luck to you, I hope you'll keep warm and find enough to eat, and yet give them nothing to meet their physical needs, and yet give them nothing to meet their physical needs, and yet give them nothing to meet their physical needs, what on earth is the good of that? Yet that is exactly what a bare faith without a corresponding life is like. Useless and dead.
Wow.
If we only have faith, a man could easily challenge us by saying, you say that you have faith and I have merely good actions. Well, all you can do is show me a faith without corresponding actions. But I can show you by my actions that I have faith as well.
Amen.
To the man who thinks that faith by itself is enough, I feel inclined to say, so you believe that there is one God. That's fine. So do all the devils in hell and shudder in terror. For my dear short-sighted man, can't you see far enough to realize that faith without the right actions. I'm going to say that again. Faith without the right actions.
Yes.
Is dead and useless. Then I jump down to verse 26. Yes, faith without action is as dead as a body without a soul. That comes from the Word of God, amen?
Yes.
Where faith alone and prayer alone sometimes is not enough.
Amen.
When your brother or your sister, when you see someone who is in need, to pray that they would be clothed, to pray that they would be housed, to pray that they would be fed, to pray that they would be taught, to pray that they would be helped, and that's all you're willing to do,
Jesus,
is not enough. We serve a God who, after we say amen, then says, you do it.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Jesus.
Just praying is the same as saying to those in need, as we just read in the Phillips version, good luck to you. I hope you'll keep warm and find enough to eat.
Jesus.
If that's all you're doing is praying, you're telling people, good luck to you. I hope you stay warm and find enough to eat. Now, I want to ask you, is that what you want to say to the survivors of Hurricane Harvey? Good luck to you. I hope you stay warm and find enough to eat.
Jesus. That's bad.
And as the Word of God says, what on earth good is that? You may get up from your prayers and feel like you're a good little Christian because you prayed today, but you missed the ball when Jesus said, do something about it. You got up so fast.
Jesus.
To just pray is to have faith without the right actions. There needs to be some corresponding action to our faith. There needs to be some faith and some works. Faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding actions, dead. As dead as a body without a soul.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Now, how does God answer prayer? The majority of the time, God answers prayer by moving upon the hearts of human beings. Grace always comes on two feet. Amen? With grace, the help of God, the power of God, the favor of God usually comes on two feet. You weren't qualified for the job, but you prayed for it anyway, and grace came on two feet when the interviewer said, I'm going to look past your lack of qualifications and hire you anyway.
Amen.
Grace comes on two feet.
Amen.
It's not just something that exists out there. It comes in the form of people who God has spoken to, who now lends aid to you and to me or to whatever help is needed. God works in the earth. Where are his hands? Where are his feet? So God is looking for people who are willing to do whatever the situation requires. That's why when we're praying for victims, like in the situation with Hurricane Harvey, we don't just pray good luck to you. I hope you stay warm and get something to eat. We then pray, and God, show me how I can contribute to that taking place.
Amen.
Because God wants to know. He's looking for willing people who are willing to do more than just pray.
Amen.
He's looking for people who are willing to get into action, to do what's required to help bring about the answer to prayers that are coming up before him. And he wants us to be part of that number. People of faith are people of action.
Amen.
There are true people of faith. True people of faith are people of action. We ran in our confession this week, right? The just shall live by faith. Living is an action. That's what you and I do every single day. We live by faith. We are people of action.
Yeah.
It's more than just words. Now, there was a story that came out this week about the Texas Secretary of State who received a call from his counterpart in Quebec, Canada, saying, we want to send supplies, we want to send manpower, we want to send blankets. And the report was, he said, no, just send your prayers. Anybody read that? He said, just send your prayers. Now, I'm surprised I've not seen it the way social media is these days, but it's out there. But later on, there were some reports that said that is not exactly the way it went down. Somebody ran with that story too much. But there was an outrage at first. How could he say, just send your prayers? Why were people outraged? Because folk know, prayer alone is not enough.
Amen.
That's why your response was the way it was. When he said, just send your prayers, you said, what? Yeah, why? Because that says that you know prayers alone are not enough sometimes. We need some food. We need some blankets. We need some manpower. We need electricians to come help keep this grid on. We need people to come clear wreckage. We need help. Faith without works is dead. The New Life Version says a faith that does not do things is a dead faith. You hear that? See, our faith has to be revealed in our doing of things.
Amen.
Real faith doesn't just say things. Real faith gets things done. So, bottom line is that God speaks to the willing. I'm going to say that again. God speaks to the willing.
Amen.
See, some people pray and they say, I didn't hear God. Maybe because it's because God's not going to spend his time talking to people who he knows from jump aren't willing. Mm-hmm. to do anything.
Jesus.
God speaks to the willing. He speaks to people who are willing to do something, not just to those who want something done.
Amen.
Remember that the next time you say God's not responding to you in prayer. Are you something? Are you a person who's willing to do something? Or are you a person who just wants something done? Because God ain't going to speak to those people. Because he knows the difference. And that brings us to our second application. That's to ourselves. Because many of us pray for things that we need. Everybody in here right now is praying unto God for something. I mean, you're always praying, right? Yeah. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray without ceasing, right? Men ought always to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Amen. You know those scriptures. Amen. So you pray every day, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. You pray every day. And you have some personal needs that you have before your God right now, don't you? You have some things that you have before God that have been there on the altar for months, don't you? You have some things that you've been believing God and asking God for a long time, haven't you? You were praying about some things just this morning for God to move in your life because I need God to move in my life. You have some things that you need God to do and you ask God to do them and God has sent me here to ask you a question. Are you willing to do anything that corresponds to what you are asking God to do for you? Uh-oh. Are you willing to do anything that corresponds to what you're asking God to do for you?
Amen.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that's a great question, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's God's question. God only asks great questions. Adam, where art thou? That's a great question. What are you willing to do that's consistent with what you're asking God to do?
Wow.
So let's ask the question. You need a job. Are you willing to get up off the couch and look for one?
Wow.
Uh-oh. Or do you want God to just miraculously give you one?
Yep.
You want to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to cut back on your spending, create a budget,
yes.
Or do you just want God to miraculously just give you a house?
Hallelujah, yes.
Huh? Well, come on, somebody. We said it had an application to, you know, broader things, but it also has a more personal application. You want God to expand your business, or you want to make more money on your job. But are you willing to acquire more skills? Are you willing to go network after work and do some things that can broaden, amen, the number of people that you may know who could be potential customers or who you can then find out what they're doing at work where you can, it can lead to a promotion.
Yeah.
Or you're just asking God to promote you. You're just asking God to build your business.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Wow.
Oh, I'm praying for a six pack.
Yeah, you don't want to do
nothing. Huh? I'm praying for a six pack.
Yeah.
But I keep knocking down six packs. Come on, somebody. I'm praying for a six pack, but am I willing to put down the chips? Am I willing to put down the chicken? Am I willing to get more rest? Am I willing to change and make lifestyle changes so that I can get what I'm asking God to give me?
Yes, yes.
Or do I just want him to give it to me? Chocolate chip cookie, so what?
Yeah, don't say that, Pastor.
Don't say that. I cannot say it, but it's still true. Amen. Whatever we're asking God to do for us, God wants to know, are we willing to do what we're asking him needs to be done?
Yeah, amen, amen, amen.
You do it. You feed them.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I think about, and Brother James is not here today, but think about the ministry. We pray in this church that God will send more people.
Yeah.
But what are we doing
so
that more people can come?
Yes, yes.
That's a fair question.
Yes, yes. Question.
Praise God. Good question. What are we doing? Now, is Brother James not here today? But Brother James has gotten in the habit the last couple of weeks telling people if we have our food distribution, come out here on Sunday, 10:45. And people are going, yeah, okay, I'll be here. I'll be here someday.
Yeah, they told me too,
right? Yeah, but they don't come.
Yeah.
But watch this.
Yeah.
Watch this, though. If you were having a wedding, if you were having a barbecue, if you were having a birthday party, and you wanted people to come, what would you do? You didn't invite them. You let them know they're welcome. So watch this. Yeah, I'm praying, Lord, send more people to the church. But how come we give out bags of food every week? People walk out of here with 3-4 bags of food by the grace of God every week.
Yeah.
What would it take to take just 8.5 paper and type on here, God loves you. Come to service on Sunday and find out how much. And just stick it in the bag. And they take it, so when they unpack their groceries and 4 bags, they see it 4 times.
Yeah.
What does it take?
Amen.
Nothing but a willingness to do it.
Yes.
Am I talking right? That's all it takes. It don't have to be no fancy schmancy. Send it to the printer. Send it to the committee. Make sure we say the right thing. Tell them God loves them and come and find out how much. Tell them that God wants to answer your prayer. God wants to clean up your life. God wants to help you. God wants to embrace you. Tell them something that is true from the Word of God that's about the God that you serve, and then invite them to come here and find out more.
Amen. Amen.
What does that take?
Yep. Yep. Nothing.
Nothing. I want more people to come. You make them come.
Amen.
You feed them.
Wow.
You send money.
Wow.
You do it.
Wow.
But we just want God to do it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Sister Patricia, I'm going to use you as an example. Y'all know, because Sister Patricia came up here and testified how she just, by the grace of God, purchased her first home. Somebody need to give God praise on that. Amen. She just purchased her first home. But if you've been listening to her carefully, you heard her say how she was looking for homes. That's action. That's not just praying. That's action. That's not praying and then going home and then watching Lifetime movies. Ooh, the sinner, the teacher with the blonde hair. You ever know some Lifetime movie? It's always, they got blonde hair, they're kind of pretty, but they're evil. Ooh, the substitute teacher. Ooh, ooh, you took my baby. Ooh, you took my husband. Ooh, it's some stupid Lifetime movie. They always come on Sunday afternoon. And people are there, ooh, watching them stupid Lifetime movies.
Amen. Don't say that.
Now, Sister Patricia, if you listen, I'm not saying she never was watching them, but she was looking. She was looking for a house.
Yes, amen.
And if you would listen to her closely, you heard her say one time that during prayer, God spoke to her and said to go look at a certain house that she had crossed off her list.
Yes. Yes.
Why did God say anything to her? Because he knew he was dealing with somebody who was willing to do something that was consistent with what she was asking God to do for her. So he spoke. And God being God spoke in a way that we said doesn't make any sense. Walk around Jericho all those times and shout, that doesn't make any sense. He said, go back to this house. I'm looking for a 3-bedroom. Go to that 2-bedroom house. I want no 2-bedroom house. No, I'm looking for a 3-bedroom house. Go to the 2-bedroom house.
Yeah.
You heard the testimony. And she went to the 2-bedroom house. And she found out, oh, look at this. Big bedrooms and a loft. is perfect. But she looked for it. She didn't stay there waiting for a realtor to say, "You looking for a house?" No, she went and she found.
Yes. Awesome.
And then, here's the thing that shows how God is rewarding of those who diligently seek Him. She goes to the closing. That's the time where you sign in papers and then you have to write a check that you go, "Oh, I can't believe I'm sitting over this much money." And she signed the papers, and she walked away with a check in her hand. Am I telling the truth?
Yeah.
Did I miss anything?
Nope. Amen.
Amen.
Why do I bring that up? Because it shows that when we're willing to do what we're asking God to do for us, when we're willing to do that which is consistent,
yes,
with what we're asking God to do, God will speak to us and maybe even tell us things that we think just don't fit. And He'll let us know, "If you follow me," amen, "it'll not only be perfect for you, but instead of you paying them, I'll have them paying you."
Amen.
"I will work and you will see without a doubt that I am working in the earth through those who are just not praying, but who are also willing to get up off their knees and put their hands to the work."
Oh,
you've got to be willing to do something, amen?
Amen?
You have to be willing to do something.
Amen.
So the question comes again, what have you been asking God to do for you? Mm. And are you doing anything that's consistent with what you're asking God to do? Mm. Amen? That's a question we have to ask. And if God hasn't responded to your prayer, maybe it's because He knows your willingness isn't quite there yet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's more than just prayer, amen?
Yeah.
It's more than just going to Jesus and asking Him to do something.
Yes.
Amen? It bears saying again, we must be willing to do something that corresponds to what we're asking God to do for us. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You want to start a business? You taking any classes? Nope. Mm-hmm. You doing any research? Nope. You consulting with people to help you write a business plan?
Nope.
You seeing who in the area maybe is engaged in the same business, doing some research? Nope. What are you doing? I'm just believing God. How many times have you heard that? I'm just believing God. Be careful of people who say, "I'm just believing God."
Yeah.
That's all you're doing? You're just believing God?
Wow.
You're not doing anything?
Yeah.
You're not doing anything consistent with what you claim you believe?
Yeah.
You're just believing God? Mm-hmm. Oh, so God just going to drop a business? He's just going to drop a McDonald's franchise?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll come back in a couple months, see how that's going. We can't just get on our knees and ask God to comfort the neighbor whose husband walked out on her and her children.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, comfort her. Mm-hmm. Without also asking God to show you how you can be a source of the comfort.
Amen.
Amen. Don't just pray. That's just praying for her to be comforted. That's just praying for him to be filled. That's just praying for her to be warm. That's just praying for them to be covered. But and Lord, use me. Show me how I can be of a help in this situation.
Yes.
People of God are people of faith, and people of faith are people of action. Amen? Yes, there may be sometimes when all you can do is pray. Grandma Jones, she's 95. She can't. She needs every penny she gets. She can't give money to Hurricane Harvey relief. She's not old. She can't go down there and volunteer. She can't give blood. But Grandma Jones says, "Lord, I'm praying that you help the victims of Hurricane Harvey. And Lord, if there's anything this old grandma can do, show me what I can do.
Amen. Amen.
God may remind Grandma Jones that she attends the church of Reverend Henderson, and Reverend Henderson's church right now is the biggest church in the city. And Grandma Jones may not be able to do much, but she can write a letter to Reverend Henderson and say, baby, you know what's going on in Houston.
That's right.
And I know you a good man.
That's right.
And you have a good congregation. And I know that you're sending some kind of support over to them, aren't you, baby?
Amen.
You understand?
That's right.
And if Reverend Henderson wasn't inclined to do something, or he was inclined to do this much, he may have been receiving that letter from Grandma Jones saying, I got to do a little bit more. You can't tell me you can't be used by God no matter where you are if you have a willingness. You just have to have a willingness to be a part of the answer to the prayer.
Amen.
So sometimes you write the letter. Maybe that's you can pray, but you can write the letter. You can pray and you can make the phone call. You can pray and you can send a text. You can pray and bake a cake. You can pray and you can give someone a ride.
Amen.
It doesn't have to be something great, but just be willing to be a part of the help that's needed in the situation. Now let's turn back. We're going to close right here. And we really are closing. I heard that from preachers before. They said they're going to close, and an hour later, we still up here. You know, one more thing. But we're really going to close.
Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 6. This is John's version. Or his account, I should say his version, his account of the feeding of the 5,000. As we said before, amen, the feeding of the 5,000, the only miracle that's accounted in each of the four Gospels. And in John chapter 6, verse number 5, it says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and saw a great company, a great crowd, come unto him. He said unto Philip, who is one of his disciples, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove or to test him. For he himself, Jesus, knew what he would do. You see that?
Amen.
Before we even pray to God to help, God already knows what he's going to do.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. They didn't ask him anything yet. And Jesus already knew what he was going to do. But why was he testing them? He was testing them to see what? Are you willing to be a part of what I'm going to do? Can I say this? For people who believe that somehow your prayer changes things, see, you want to know what's dangerous about that? Because some people believe their prayer changes God.
Yes.
As if God was sitting there going, I'm looking at that, I ain't doing nothing about that. And then you started praying, and God said, ooh, a flood? Oh, yeah, I guess I got to do something.
Wow.
Please, please, please don't think your prayers are that powerful, amen?
Jesus.
God already knew what he's going to do.
Jesus.
God knows what he's going to do. He now is looking for people who are willing to be used by him to do what needs to be done.
Amen.
So when we pray, God, I pray that you do something for the victims of Hurricane Harvey. God says, I've been there already.
Yes.
I'm already there. Now I'm just looking for people who are willing to do something about it.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said, listen, God knows the needs you have, what? Even before you ask him. Do you know your prayer didn't catch God by surprise? God
yes.
never said when you told
yes.
him what was going on in your life. He never said, really? No, he knows what's going on in your life. And he knows what you need before you and I open our mouths.
Yes.
So stop getting so caught up on your prayer, doing all these things. Because the bottom line is, the disciples prayed, Jesus, feed them, send them to get something to eat. And our Lord's response to them is the same as it is to us today. You do something
yes.
about it.
Amen.
I already know what I'm going to do.
Amen.
What are you going to do? I already know I'm going to feed these 15,000. I'm just looking for somebody who's going to be willing to hand out the fish and bread that I'm about to multiply.
Amen.
I already know how I'm rebuilding Houston. I'm just looking for some people who are willing to contribute to the effort. We need some money. We need some supplies. We need some hands on the ground. I already know what I'm going to do. You think you needed to pray to God to restore Houston as if that wasn't already on his mind? I already know what I'm going to do.
Amen.
I'm testing you to see if you're willing
to
get involved with what you already know needs
to be
done.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
So let's get involved, amen. With other people, amen, in other situations. Yeah, let's pray for them, but never stop by just simply asking God to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Continue with your prayer and ask God to show you how he can use you to be part of the process of the answer. Amen. Amen. Let him know, Lord, I'm willing to be used by you to do what I'm asking you to do for my brother or for my sister. I'm willing. I'm not just one of those pray, be warm, be filled kind of Christians.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
My faith is not dead. My faith is alive. It's vital. Amen. And then when it comes to our own lives, let's not ask God to fix our problems and think we can sit on the couch and then we can, you know, what we were watching yesterday, Netflix. Oh, bad movies all day long. Bad movies. It was raining, it was wet, so we just said, this is a movie day. Sister Nye, that's just some bad movies. Every now and then you can have a day where you just sit and have some bad movies, but your life shouldn't be just all the time. Bad movie, bad. Get up and tell God and show God, I'm not just asking you, God, to fix my life, but I'm willing to do those things that are consistent with my request.
Amen.
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 And once God knows you're willing to do that, you're willing to look for the house, you're willing to look for the job, you're willing to do the research to start your business, you're willing to put some invitations in the bag to get people to come, once he knows you're willing to do something that's consistent with what you're asking him to do, grace is released. Amen. Favor and power. Because now he knows he's talking to somebody whose faith is not dead, but their faith is alive. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Life don't want to do that.
So as we get ready to get up out of here, I'm just going to speak to you what Jesus said to them. Amen. And we just going to paraphrase.
Yeah.
Lord, we want you to do something for these people. And his response was what?
You do it.
Amen. It's not that he's going to be a part of it. Amen. Because he's going to be the author of it. But he needs people to be willing.
That's right.
To put their hands to the work.
Amen.
So that the grace of God can be revealed.
Amen.
In the earth. Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. Let's stand on our feet and pray this morning. Praise God. Amen. You do it. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Amen.
Amen.
We ain't no passive people just sitting around praying with some prayer cloths on. You have preachers talking about, oh, you need a prayer shawl. You don't need no shawl.
Amen.
You don't need a shawl. You don't need no oil.
Amen.
You don't need none of that. You got everything you need. Amen. You got the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Get in there and pray. If you got some hands and some feet, you then have money. Amen. I can be used by you, Lord.
Amen.
Get the prayer shawl.
Yes.
Especially when they're telling you, send it in for $19.99. When you send it for $59.99, we give you the shawl and some oil.
Oh, gosh.
I can get my own shawl, and then all that's in that bottle is some olive oil. I got olive oil in my house. I can pray over it. Thank you very much. Let's pray today. Glory to God. Father, we do thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Glory to God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That you are a God, an awesome God.
Yes, Father.
You are a God who speaks to us right where
yes,
we are.
Lord.
And Father, we heard your voice today. We thank God for the intercessors, oh God. But Father, we thank you even the more for those, oh God, who not only pray, but those who get up
yes.
and who are willing to be part of the answer to the prayer. And Father, we see in your word, oh God, that as the disciples prayed unto you to meet the needs of the people, your response to them was, you do something
yes.
to help satisfy the need that I have allowed you to see exists.
Yes.
So God, let us be mindful that every time that we are aware of something, it's because you have made us aware.
Yes.
And you are testing us the same way you tested Philip. You already know, God, what you are going to do. Mm-hmm. The only question that remains is, are we willing to do something about
yes.
it.
Yes.
And Father, we pray that when we see needs among others, oh God, among our brethren, among those, oh God, in our communities, oh Father, wherever we may see it, Father, let us be willing to be used by you, not just to pray, but to do.
Yes. Father.
And Father, in our own lives, let us not just be willing to ask you to change and to fix, to reorganize and to reassemble, but God, let us be willing to put our hands to our own life and to do that which is consistent with what we're asking you to do for us. Father, we hear your voice telling us today, do something about it. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Don't just pray for answers, but be a part of the answer. And God, we thank you as we lift up our hands unto you in reverence. We ask you to show us, God, how we can be used by you in greater ways
yes,
on behalf of others and even for those situations in our own lives.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that as we come to you in prayer, you're going to speak God ideas. You're going to show us great and mighty things that we know is not. You're going to tell us how to go to the left or to the right. We'll hear your voice behind us giving guidance and direction.
Yes.
And for that, we give you praise and we give you thanks.
Yes.
We thank you, God. We are people of action.
Yes.
Who make a difference in the earth by the grace and the power of our God.
Yes, God.
Who is in heaven. We give you the praise and thanks now for it all. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.